Welcome back, everybody, to a fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your self-sacrificing host, doing anything to do a beer review, Sean. Mister, I can't even shave my head after 40 years. Danny, how are you?
Hey, man, this is like the 20th time I've shaved my head. Everybody like makes one mistake. I mean, I went into the comic book shop and talked to you.
It just, even with treatment, it just doesn't go away.
It does not. So I got some exciting news today, Sean.
What's up?
At least somebody officially in the building that I work at tested positive for the coronavirus.
Oh, perfect.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So are they shutting down your building?
Oh God, no. They didn't even like pause the operation when a supervisor was like climbing a ladder to do some work up above and fell and died.
And the time where those kids were driving around the cart and fell over and died.
Yeah, they were driving and they flipped the tug and died. Yeah, they didn't. They just kind of cordoned off the area and said, "Work around them." So I don't think a little thing like the coronavirus is going to stop them.
No, probably not.
Yeah, but other than that, man, it's weird. Like I tried to go to La Bodega and a couple of the other bottle shops around here, and like they had like the cash registers behind sheets of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
The outbreak.
Yeah.
And then I guess today they officially, at La Bodega, they officially said only like phone-in orders. And then like they'll text you or call you when your order's ready to come pick up and then you can come pick it up.
How are you supposed to pick the beer that you want?
They said they'll post pictures on their social medias.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. I think I'm good. I just dropped like in the span of like a week or so, a week and a half, I dropped like $300 between the three places. So I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm. I did my shopping like 3 weeks ago, and I'm starting to run out. The crisis isn't getting better. I should have bought 6 weeks worth.
Yeah, someone was like, "Me for the second time this week buying 3 weeks of alcohol." Oh man.
So, Danny, why does beer have to be so fancy?
Well, you mean the fancier? They have to make it childproof or idiot-proof, Sean.
Can't fool me. I'll get my beer.
Especially with the wax.
Dude. I know you are experienced, Danny, but for some of the people out there, just the now, like, one of the big things is they do, like, a wax seal over the top of it. So you have to, like, dig through the thick wax to even get to the cap to remove. And then sometimes, like we were talking before the show, Danny, even after you take off the cap, you get bamboozled because there's a cork in there.
Yes. Oh, man. And it's not like, I mean, I understand, like, when you see the bottle with the wax, it does look a little fancy. I blame that on Maker's Mark.
Bastards.
But do they really, really need to, like, put that much wax on there? They're not sealing like an Egyptian sarcophagus, you know?
Yeah. No, not at all.
I mean, they could just put like a little drizzle of wax, like for funsies and color, but like you don't need to dip the thing in and like just let it cool and then dip it. You don't need to double dip the wax, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I don't think you need to either. It seems like it's just getting overkill at this point.
It is. So what fancy beer are you drinking?
The wax. Oh, all right. So this is from 5050 Brewing in Truckee, California. I was surprised that it was out here. I thought this was actually Eclipse Brewing, but the beer is called Eclipse. It's a barrel. This is a part of a barrel age system, obviously, with the fancy wax and shit.
What
did you
get?
What's up?
What color was the wax?
Clear with gold sparkles.
Okay, because the color of the wax determines the type of beer it is, like the adjuncts.
Interesting. But this is an imperial barrel-aged imperial stout brewed with caramel, salted caramel even. brewed with caramel, aged in bourbon, and salt brine barrels. This is, and it comes in at a 12.8% ABV.
Nice.
So I will say, I don't, it tastes like an imperial stout, but it doesn't have the bite. It's got a nice bourbon undertone, and I think, I don't really get the caramel, but I think the caramel is helping keep the balance in there, because it is like, it does, I do have like a more salty kind of taste for a stout, per se, because usually, like, my mouth isn't like this, like, gasping for water this quickly, so I'm sure that's with the stout in it, or with the salt in it, but I think the caramel just gives it, and the bourbon barrel just gives it, like, a nice, mellow taste. Like, this is probably, this is a pretty solid beer overall, probably really a strong 7.
Right, like, the caramel isn't making it sweet necessarily, but it's taking out the bitterness from the roasted malts of the stout.
Yeah, this would be, I would consider this, like, basically, if you were ranking stouts, like, this is, like, an arm's reach away from being called a dessert stout. Because it's not sweet, but you definitely pick up kind of somewhat of a sweet balancing note to it.
Yeah, I've had the purple one and one other. I can't remember the color, but like when they do the full release, like Labadega will have like 6 or 8 or however many they are, and they all have different color wax. There's like a purple one, a red one, a black one.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple other barrels. The problem was that they were like $25 a pop, so it was kind of like, ooh. Or they were like pretty pricey. I don't know if they were $25, but they were dumb. It was enough to me to go, do I really need to pick up a second bottle?
Oh, in hindsight, you said that you're running low on beer, so you probably did need to pick up that second bottle.
True, but I don't know if I had enough room in my keyser for it.
No, yeah, mm-hmm. But now you do.
Mm-hmm. Now I could make it work.
Yeah, my wife asked me, you know, the same question that, well, not so much asked, but showed the same concern that you did one time when you came over. It's like, she was like, I'm surprised the top shelf of our refrigerator hasn't collapsed.
Maybe you just need to get a bigger fridge. I don't know.
Or just drink more beer.
You could.
Maybe if I become non-essential. Because everybody in my building catches the Rona, and I have to drink beer on a, I get day drunk all day on one day.
True.
As opposed to, you know, just me deciding to make extra money by going in on an extra day of work.
Fair enough.
So I'm drinking a collaboration beer, Sean, between Trillium Brewing and Bottle Logic Brewing.
Oh, fancy.
Yes, and their naming convention for their beer is as original as your brother's name for his gamer tag years ago.
What?
Just name it after the street you're on. So the name of this beer is North Armando
Street. The Viagra pill?
The Viagra pill. not the pill you're on, the street you live on.
Oh, I'm just confused. There was just multiple gamer tags out there at one point in my life.
Well, when he had Sir Promenade, or Promenade Sir, that was what it was.
Yeah.
But the Sir wasn't circle like it's supposed to be. It was Sir like the British Knight, Sir.
Sometimes that happens. There's nothing
to say. It does. But it's a hazy double IPA. And Trillium is based out of Massachusetts, Canton to be exact.
Yeah.
And so it's talks about how it's bright in color with a rich haze, bright aromas of ripe pineapple, tangerines, and passion fruit with flavors of pithy orange and papaya give away to a dank, earthy finish with mild bitterness. I don't know. I mean, I could smell the pineapple in the aroma.
Mm-hmm.
And when I drink it, it has this bitter aftertaste. It almost tastes like green bell pepper.
Really?
Yes.
That's odd.
It is.
Very odd.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's not bad, but, like, yeah, like, I don't know if it's just that's what that dank, earthy finish is just green bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little weird. I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. Like, normally, like, pretty much everything from Bottle Logic is pretty good, and Trillium is, like, one of the first hazy breweries in the country. So, I don't know if it was just... And it's not even that old. It was only brewed, like, at the beginning of the month.
So is that all they brew, then, is haze?
Not all they brew, but that's, like, their specialty, I guess. Or at least what the trade, the people stand in line for hours for.
Oh. We're just here to get the hazy stuff so we could sell it online for triple the amount, the price.
Yeah, pretty much. Or trade it for, like, way more than it should be traded for.
Mm, fair enough.
You know... I asked you, you know, the other day if you had heard of two different breweries.
Yes.
And so one of them I asked you about is called Grist House.
Yes.
In Millvale, Pennsylvania. And so they had a can release. And instead of, like, I don't know if Pennsylvania is just not changing the laws or if Grist House is just being lazy. Mm-hmm. But they had it released. They did it to release the old, like, pre-coronavirus way, where everybody shows up and stands in line for hours in hopes of getting their hands on a case or 10.
That sounds like a poor choice.
Right. And so I guess, like, at least 60 people showed up. And, like, it says that every other – well, I guess they're allowed to, because it says every other brewery is doing online ordering and reserve times. So, like, they'll tell you to show up in like, a 15-minute window, like – if you order your beer, it's like, all right, show up between this time and this time and just stay the fuck away from everybody. And then we'll, like, when you're ready to come up. And even, like, Green Sheen had a beer release, and it was, like, drive-in, like, drive-up, as opposed to standing in line and outside of your car. You could stand in line in your car.
Yeah.
So this is going to be one of those things where if it gets to the right people or the wrong people, I guess, then it's going to be make it so we can't have nice things, and they're going to try to shut – someone's going to try to get breweries shut down.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the other one
– that's fair. I mean, it's kind of crazy that other people would not look to just do something like that. It's actually pretty clever for the breweries to stay open.
Right. You would think you would want to stay open and do whatever you have to do to, you know, not get shut down.
Yeah.
And then there was another brewery – called Troon Brewing in Hopewell, New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
And I think this happened, like, pre, like, shelter in place, all that stuff. But, you know, the beer nerds, the haze boys, are getting advanced in their following beer releases. They don't just look to social media, because by the time it's on social media, it's too late. Like, the common folk know.
Yeah.
And so, like, even, like, Monkish... they have cases where people have flown drones over the back of Monkish to see if they're canning beers that day, that morning, or that night or whatever. So for a beer release, either that day or the next day, so that they know to go stand in line.
Jeez, nothing like knowing that you have a bunch of stalkers just watching what you do all the time.
Right, and so this brewery, they don't have a tasting room, but they go But they have a place called Brick Farm where all their beers go to. And I don't know if it's like a bottle shop or like one of those where it's a bottle shop / tap house. Kind of like, what was that place in Ohio that opened up right before you left? Where you could buy cans and bottles, but they also had taps.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name. Poor me. Oh. I forgot. That was a great tap room. It was a pretty solid tap room.
And then they have one like that in the circle of orange called Provisions, mm-hmm. where, like, they have beer on tap, but then they also have – you can get bottles and cans to go. Mm-hmm. So basically, Troon Brewing, they did that where, like, people were, like, using their Sherlock Holmes investigating skills.
Mm-hmm.
And based on, like, some, like, social media posts – and this is just a brewery, like, hypothesizing, because they made had a keg of beer that was going to the place where they sell all their beer. And people are like, oh, well, there's a new keg. There must be a release also. So there was, like, like people lined up, were in line for as long as 2 hours before like they finally were told like, no, there's not a release today, go home. Beer nerds, man.
They're intense. They're a rare breed.
Right. I saw a post of 450 North Brewing in Indiana. Some guy bought $3,500 worth of their beer.
Wow. I mean, it kind of reminds me kind of like at the Great American Beer Festival where people are just like walking out with like, you know, they would need like three people to help carry all the beer they bought.
Right, because you know they're not going to drink all that. That's all, like, trade bait.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like it's, to me, it's just not that interesting of trying to chase beer. Because I feel like you're chasing something that is going to be, you know, is going to be probably more disappointing. Like, if I bought a 50 bottle, if I bought a beer for, like, $200, like, my expectation of that beer is going to be so much higher versus just buying it for $20.
Right. Or if, you know, the other thing too is like, if you, you know, if you and I trade beers and they have to ship across the country, you don't know how they're being handled. You don't know what conditions they're in. So by the time it gets to you, they're definitely not optimal tasting.
Do you think UPS employees are going to care about your box?
They don't care about TVs. So why do they care? You know, and even then you can't market beer because it's against terms of service.
Exactly.
Yes.
Barbecue sauce, yeast samples.
Exactly, yeast samples. I call it barbecue supplies. I mean, it's not wrong, is it?
No, it's not.
It's an accessory you need for when you're barbecuing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So, you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about GameStop just being general douchebaggery.
Yes.
So they decided to say, hold my beer, I can make it worse.
Bastards. What did they do now?
So originally, when they were trying to fight the whole, we're essential
mm-hmm.
thing, they had a 40-minute, phone call conference with, the division leaders, which, you know, they've laid off a bunch of different, laid off a bunch of people in like management and given them bigger areas to try to save money so that the higher ups can still get paid as much as they were getting paid before.
Yep.
And so basically the higher ups were like, hey, you know, we're sheltering in place, but you guys do your part to keep the company open. And so one of the things was that the store manager, for the cleaning supplies, like the bleach and gloves and all that, was that it was the store manager's responsibility to provide them for the store out of their own pocket.
Not even they were supposed to get it and then expense it?
I'm sure they could try to expense it, but it wasn't, you know, there's no guarantees. Oh. And then, you know, so finally they kind of were okay, we'll stay open, but we won't let people in the store. So their second idea was that if you would have to call ahead, or if you pre-ordered something, you could go to the door, basically knock on the door. The employee would just crack the door a little bit. And this whole time, the employee wouldn't necessarily be wearing gloves, but they would be wearing a inside-out bag on their hand, right? Like a GameStop bag that they put your purchase in. So what they would do is, you couldn't pay with cash, you could only pay with card. So they would take the inside-out bag, grab your card, go inside, run the card, and then turn the bag the right way with your card inside, and then put the game or whatever you purchased in the bag with the card, and then kind of just open the door just enough to hand you the bag out the door and close the door again in your face.
I don't know. I mean, it is really ridiculous, but I think GameStop has came to the conclusion that if they're shut down for 3 months, it's probably the end of GameStop.
Right. I mean, they already announced like day one of them having to shut down that they were going to close 300 stores permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you've fostered that much bad will with the community of the whole trade-in thing, you know, that's, you know, the running gag for years with GameStop, even before they bought you know, Think Geek and ruined Think Geek.
Before Pawn Stars, it was GameStop.
Yes. Yeah. I just bought this game a month ago. I'll give you $5 for it. And then they turn around and sell it for $3 less than the new game.
Mm-hmm. It's how they made their money.
Yeah, it's like how Blockbuster didn't make money off renting movies. They made money off of the late fees of people that didn't return the movies.
Yes.
And that was the whole reason, according to Urban Legend, I don't know how true it is, but that's the guy that came up with Netflix. Had like $40 in late fees and decided, fuck that, people shouldn't have to pay late fees for movies, and so he made Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep your movie as long as you want.
Didn't they try to battle Netflix by doing like something similar, like if you paid $25 a month, you could rent unlimited DVDs?
They did it, and well, they did. They even had a mail thing, and it should have worked. I don't know why it didn't. And it was, they actually had a chance to buy Netflix in the beginning for like $1 million when Netflix. They had a chance to buy Netflix for like $1 million,
mm-hmm.
something like that, when Netflix was first starting, and they're like, "Nah, it's cool, we don't need you." But then, so they decided to do their own thing. Because I had a couple of friends that actually did this, where you can have games, you can have the movies mailed to you, mm-hmm. and you can either mail them back. Or you could take them to the store and pick a movie at the store.
Interesting.
And even with that model, they failed. Because I think they weren't getting late fees anymore. And that's where they were making all their profit.
Yeah. Is Gamefly still a thing, or did that close down too?
I haven't seen commercials for it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's still... I don't know. I haven't... That seems like a follow-up question, Sean.
Hey... I'm just asking. I'm just keeping the conversation alive.
I don't know, man. My Google works as well as your Google.
But that would require more work on my side.
You're just like my wife. It's like she has her phone in her hand and asks me a question, and it's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, look it up. And I'm like, you have your phone in your hand too. I have to, my phone's like, not in my hand. I have to reach for it.
All right. It still looks like it's up and running. I answered it. Jesus.
Yeah. After Jesus. I shamed you, I was going to say it's still open.
You don't need to shame me. You just need to stop being a dick. This is what it's like to be married to you, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. Just pointless arguing and no sex. Sorry, I had to do it.
Yeah.
That's like the stereotypical married joke, right? Married with children did it, all of them. Oh, man. Speaking of reasons not to have sex, Sean, you played a bunch of video games.
What?
And
You know what's bad at work? When people go, when people start asking me how many hours do I think I'm going to play this weekend for, like, video games now? I was like, yeah, they're like, oh, so you play, like a couple hours over the weekend? I'm like, a couple hours? This is a commitment. It's like almost a marriage. Persona? Yeah. It's a 100-hour game. What do you think? I'm going to play 5 hours a weekend and get done in 2022? No.
Exactly. Yeah, like there's like memes where it's like, yeah, I play a lot of video games. I play like an hour a night every night.
Rookie, you better get those numbers up.
Exactly. That's usually the next panel on the meme of those are rookie numbers. You need to get those numbers up.
So yesterday turned into a instead of like a day of prayer, it's a day of gaming. It turned into a 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 a.m. game sesh.
Seems logical.
Yeah, Persona 5 Royal came out on Wednesday, and I have 30 hours racked in already this week.
Persona 5 Royal!
Because you want to be royal!
I don't know. Whenever I hear that name, I make me think of that.
Yeah, I even convinced Nick to buy it. So after he already played and loved Persona 5, I was like, you got to get Royal. It's like It's like a bet. Like, I don't know how they made it better, but they made Persona 5 better. And he bought it. And I think he even got Roy to buy it, too. So I'm on a roll. Now I just gotta get dumbass Gecko and Heather to buy it.
What they really need to do is they should just sell, like, whatever new is added on as, like, DLC. Like, I'd pay another, like, $20 to get, like, the Royale with cheese editions instead of having to buy, like, a whole new game.
The problem is they updated... It's not just, like, an expansion pack where you could play the main story. Like, it's stuff... It changed... Like, the whole... All the palaces are starting to get changed. Like, the palace is not the same, even from the first palace. Like, there's additional options. So, I mean, I understand why it's, like, released as a new game, because I don't know how... They would have basically had to re-download the whole game, basically, with an updated version of it.
Okay.
That's how much detail and in tune they added into Royal from the first game is it's like the main story is told the same, but the way you do it is completely different, and it unlocks like a lot of different bonuses throughout the game. It's not just like at the end of the game where they just tag on an extra semester or something. It's kind of like, because that's what I was kind of wondering, like, is there, because all the reviews I read on it was like, no, it's definitely worth the replay. And as I've been replaying it, I'm like, damn, dude, this is way more solid. Because I even told Roy, I'm like, don't even bother buying the first one. Just go right to Royal.
Yeah, because that's what we did with 4. By the time we jumped on the Persona 4 bandwagon, mm-hmm. they had already come out with Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to play Gold. It makes me, like, want to replay, but, man, Persona's just so much of a commitment, though.
I know, but it is on the Vita, so you could, like, you know, take it places.
True. At least now I know what to do at work.
Dude, like, my wife at her job, she, like, has, like, where there's, like, huge lulls. And so she talks about how, like, she's, like, watching all these shows or reading books and stuff, and I'm like, must be nice.
Is she still working then?
Yes, she's essential.
We're all essential, Danny. We all are.
I saw something, and it was like, they only call us essential because sacrificial is too honest.
True that. I mean, honestly, if I wasn't, like, sending face masks and hand sanitizer and cleaner to hospitals, I'd probably be a little bit more upset. But I guess I do have a heart, and I feel obligated to go to work to make sure that we receive and ship stuff to the hospitals. So you're welcome, America. I'm carrying you.
You have to go full, like... Maui, The Rock, Maui, and Moana sing that song on your way to work. All I have to say is, you're welcome. Oh, man.
Anyways,
but you played a couple other games?
I did play some games before Persona 5 Royal ruined my life. So the first one is because... Funny story, you know, with GameStop about to close, I decided I should probably take in all my gift cards and get something.
Did you cough on them before you handed them in?
No, I did not cough on any GameStop cards. I have a soul, Danny. I do have a soul. So the first one is called Creedfall, and this is a RPG. It takes place in the colonial era. Basically, you're from like a family and you sail out to an island, and there's two other nations on the island, and you and your cousin are representing your land, your country on the island. And on the island there's beasts, and there's the native humans there and whatnot. So you go through and you're trying to be a diplomat between the other two cities and the natives, and you're trying to work with and with that you're trying to like develop relationships so that way they could be so you could use your team better. You're in a basically when you're fighting, you could pick two teammates to go with you. Very RPG-like. The story was pretty solid. It was kind of interesting because you start to notice that you're not really, that you're more, it's, you have a lot more physical features about with the native people than you do with your, the people that you grew up with. And there's a huge drama session on that. There's scandals going on. You know, you got your crazy religious people here. You got your crazy science people there. It's got like all the nice little flavors that you would expect from terrible humans in there. The game did take a little bit. I think it was like a 50-60 hour RPG. I didn't go through all the side missions. At one point, I finally wanted to go through and knock it out. There are different romances in the game, but they're not... They're not as like easy as you would think in like other RPGs where it's just like, hey, you know, you say nice things, maybe do a few gifts, maybe a reach around, boom, you seal the deal. Here, like, you have to literally be like, all right, when the moon is half covered, have your left hand up, your right foot out, you know, sing this. Like, it's very like, if you don't do everything to a T, like the romance is screwed up. Like, it's very...
That sounds like too much like real life. Like, I mean, I want my, like RPGs to feel, like, semi-real, but, dude, don't shame us.
Exactly. So that was fine. The biggest thing that... What's up?
I was gonna ask real quick, the combat, is it, like, action combat? Like, how is the combat system on it? Because I'm sure it's not turn-based, because nobody does turn-based anymore. If Square Enix isn't doing turn-based, nobody is.
Atlas would like to talk to you.
Are they even doing turn-based? Oh, I guess they kind of sort of are.
Yeah, Persona 5 is turn-based.
Okay.
So.
Okay, well, fine, but, like...
Fine, I guess fine, Atlas, fuck them. That's not part of the examples I want to use.
I only want to
use cherry-pick your fucking data.
Because everyone's losing their shit, because... Final Fantasy VII isn't turn-based anymore, and Final Fantasy XV wasn't turn-based, and Final Fantasy XIII or XIII-2 or XIII-3 Lightning Returns weren't turn-based.
Really? So Final Fantasy, the new one is not turn-based?
No.
Really? Interesting. Yep.
Hmm. So that's what I'm saying. If Square Enix isn't doing turn-based, then pretty much nobody is. Except, but you said like Alice is like, hold my beer.
Exactly. I mean, I think Persona has a very strong recipe for success. That, you know, I think we're going to continue to see Personas. You know, we're going to see a Persona 6 in probably, what, 5 years, maybe? Like, it's going to happen again. And they have a very strong and a loyal fan base. And they have a very good recipe for success. Like, I played 3, 4, and 5. They all feel a little different. They're generally kind of the same. Here's the problem. You got to level up. You got to build bonds. You got to manage your time. They're all very fun to play.
Right. And, like, you know, nobody – like, it's a thing where there's still a group of people that want turn-based games. And if Atlas is going to fill the need, then that's pretty much the only option.
Yeah.
Then, of course – people are going to find a way to play it.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, too, is in Dragon Age and in Mass Effect, you have to kind of play it in a turn-based standpoint. As it's similar because on the higher difficulties, you have to basically like pause the fight and then be like, okay, you are going to attack this guy with this ability, and then you are going to do this to this guy. It's not necessarily turn-based, but it definitely starts to feel like it a little bit.
Okay. So it's more like strategy attacks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so back to Creedfall. No, it is not a turn-based.
Now, wait, is it Creed or Greed? C or G?
Greed.
Okay, because when I first heard you say Creed, so I wrote Creed, and now it sounds like I looked up and it was Greed, so I just want to make sure.
It's Greed. Because I'm an idiot. It's okay. I'm probably partially to blame. I'll take some of the blame with you.
Like 30%. Okay, I'll let you take 30%.
Okay. So, Greedfall. It's not turn-based. There is a lot of... It's like there is a counter system to it. Like, you have to be very mindful of how you attack because you have to be ready to deflect. And the game... So, the game is unforgiving if you are not paying attention. So on some attacks, you have to do a dodge. Some you could parry. So, like, there is a little bit of, like, you can't just go through and just kill people very easily. There is a little, like, the enemy is reasonably balanced to be able to take you out. You don't necessarily have every trick up your sleeve. And the beginning of the game is even more difficult because you don't have as many tricks up your sleeve because you haven't learned anything. So you have to be very careful. The thing about Creedfall, though, is it's a very true RPG. You could be kind of okay in everything or really good in something. So when you level up, you don't get as many points to level on your abilities and your things. So it's very hard. It's not like Skyrim where you could just be like a god and just do everything in magic, stealth, and warrior. In Creedfall, you have to decide what you're doing, and it's a commitment. So that was one of the things I really liked about it, is it made you really challenge what you are going to level up. Because none of your party members could do special abilities. So, like, if you're a warrior or a mage, all those locked chests in the world, they're going to stay locked because there ain't nobody in your party that you could substitute to unlock it, like in Dragon Age. So that was one of the things that I thought was very unique and made the game a lot more difficult.
Okay, yeah. So I'm sure that might be why people don't like it, because normally in those games you can level everything up. And, like, you don't have any challenge or anything like that. You're just like, oh, wow, I'm the best at everything. I'm God.
Yeah, and this one, you really are not. And the funny thing is this game is a $40 game. Like, it's a new game, and it's $40. It's not even $60. So,
and it's on Steam right now for $30, so it's even cheaper.
Ooh, even better. I think this is a very... I thought it was a fun RPG. I really enjoyed playing it. I thought the story was really good. There's based off your decisions, the end story does change. So depending on how you act with certain factions and how many side quests you do and your kind of decisions. Because that was the biggest thing that I thought too, Danny, is a lot of the conflicts was like one group versus another. And it was very rare that you could make the answer be an even 50-50. Sometimes somebody won, and there was nothing that you could really do about it. So it was kind of very interesting. So I feel like depending on your choices, you could get many different endings depending on who you side with.
Right, okay. So you can play the game multiple times. It has a high replayability value.
I think so, especially with the limited amount of things that you could do and your ability picks. I think, you know, trying to do different things will definitely drive you to try new things. So I think it definitely has a decent amount of replayability.
And then you also told me that you played the PlayStation Network's free game of March, Shadows of the Colossus.
Yes. So I think since forever, I've always heard people talk about Shadow of the Colossus. Am I right?
It definitely is one of those like games that has like a fond memories of when people tell stories about it.
Yeah, and basically, somebody's just summed up was like, you just kill monsters because you're an asshole, and that's it. And I was like, okay, well, this... I was like, I don't know how great this is, how this game is going to be. So I started playing it. I downloaded it because it was free, and this was after Creedfall, and I needed another game to play while I was waiting for Royal to come out. So I was like, fuck it. It's a free game. I'm going to play it, right? And I started... After I killed, like, the first three monsters... I'm just kind of like, dude, this game is, like, fucked up. Like, why am I doing this? Like, there's no real point. And I was reading I started to read an article, and it was like, if you are thinking like this, then the game has succeeded, because that was the point. And I'm like, fuck, I'm in the trap. So now I gotta see my way through, because if they're purposely trying to make me pissed off about the main character killing these monsters, then they succeeded, and I need to, you know, I felt like an obligation to finish, because the game makers made me feel how they wanted me to feel.
Right, they did their job.
Exactly. So the story is very minimal. You kind of, the intro, you're just riding a horse, there's like a sick girl on your horse, and you're riding, you put her on an altar, and basically you yell out to the spirit of the temple, and which responds to you, you're like, resurrect her, and he's like, I don't think I can, he's like, and then you pull out your sword, you slam it, and you're like, you're gonna resurrect her, and he's like, then he's like, yo, bro, is that the sword of whatever? And you're like, yeah. He's like, all right, maybe you could have a chance. I need you to kill the 16 monsters in this room, and we'll see what happens. So really, there's no enemies. You just kill these 16 monsters, and you have to go one at a time, and they're very puzzle-like. Like, you just fight, you only really have 16 monsters to fight, there's no additional minions or anything, and all of them have, like, a unique twist on how you're supposed to beat them, so it is, and it goes from, like, easy to hard, and I will say, I only had to look up one to figure out, and I almost had it right. I was just doing it a little wrong. That's why I couldn't figure it out, but I was on the right track. So from a puzzle standpoint, it is fun. It is interesting to, you know, try to figure out how to climb, dodge, distract, destroy different parts of the monster to achieve your goal. You know, this is supposed to be a very, like, emotional, kind of like an emotional, artistic game. I thought the landscape of the realm was very beautifully done, even in the remastered version that came out a couple years ago. Really liked the land. The controls, horrendous. One of the most frustrating things I've ever had to play. The controls were just a nightmare to kind of deal with.
I mean, that's, you know, the downfall of some of the older games, I guess, is they didn't really care so much about the control scheme. They just wanted to get the game played.
Yeah, and the camera views were just, that really didn't help at all either. It was a very, sometimes it would be tough to play, like, fight one of the monsters, because the camera angle and the control was just really weird to use.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm playing an older game, and I'm kind of experiencing the same issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're doing something, and you try to move the camera, or you try to do something, and it's just, like, it's frustrating. You just want to, like, flip a table to you.
Yeah, there was a lot of times where I was, like, yelling, and I wanted to fucking throw the controller, and then my girlfriend would just be like, you need to calm down. Like, this is getting out of hand. I'm like, you don't fucking understand. I'm very upset right now. Like, I shouldn't have fucking fallen. You know, I'm hitting the fucking buttons right.
Yeah, my wife's like, I'm playing games, and my wife's like, I thought you said you played video games to calm down and relax yourself, and I'm like, I am relaxed! She doesn't seem to buy it, though.
It's in those cases they just don't really believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
Overall, though, I just feel like the game missions and its storytelling, it's very artistic. At the even the ending, I don't get this huge thing on why it's so good or not so good. So I would say, like, I wouldn't rate it a very high game. And maybe I'm just being cruel because this is a game that younger people that our group really liked when they were little or something. I don't know. I don't think it's the greatest game ever. I mean, it was a nice free game to play. I mean, for free. I mean, shit, it was definitely worth the playthrough.
Oh yeah, definitely. Anytime it's free, of course it's worth the playthrough.
Pretty much. So I know we talked previously on the show about Interspecies Reviewer. Episode 12 came out last week. So I finished the series. Did you finish the series?
No, I did not. I think I watched like the first like 5 or 6 episodes.
So I really felt like the last couple episodes just kind of lost a little wind out of their sail. Because really, the show just doesn't really have a point besides making the same kind of joke kind of over and over. Like, you get to episode 8, I think the 1 through 8 is probably, and I would have to look at the episodes, maybe it's 1 through 9, 1 through 7 or something. But the first part, it has all the shock value. It's really funny. It's cringy. And it makes you question, like, it makes you question why you're watching it, which is fantastic. I think it pushes the envelope on what you want to do. But it really felt like once it got towards the end, though, it was kind of like, what is the, like, it just loses, like, where are we going with the show? What are we doing?
It's like if the show was based around, like, a fart joke.
Yes.
You know? It's like, yeah, fart jokes are funny, but is there a point of the show other than giving people a reason to fart?
Exactly. And that's what I kind of, that's what I felt like towards the end. At the end, I didn't feel like I really laughed at all. It felt like I was watching it just to watch it. There was maybe 1 or 2 jokes in the episode I would kind of chuckle at, but it lost the full belly laugh, the full, like, I would just, like, I wanted to talk about it because I thought it was so funny before, and then it was kind of like, yeah, I finished the anime. So I felt like it was kind of disappointing that it just kind of ended the way that it did, and there was really no real reason for the show besides, like, to your point, it's a show about having sex with different species, humanoid species, and that's it. Like, you get the gist of it after, and it kind of, you hit like the peak of the funniness, and then it just kind of dies off.
Right, and to me it didn't seem like, at least the episodes I watched, there was nothing that necessarily warranted, like, it being taken off of the standard streaming services where they have options to turn on or off adult content.
Yeah, I don't really see why. Don't get me wrong, it pushes the line pretty hard. But I don't think it's really any different than any of the other ecchi shows or any other mature content and uncensored content that comes out.
Right. They're not, you know, it's not full on, like, penetration. Like we said, it's, you know, you see boobs, but that's not rare in a lot in this style of anime.
Exactly. To your point, there's no. It follows the same rules. Maybe it just pushes the nature of the story a little bit different. Maybe doing a sex change episode really made people feel uncomfortable or something. Maybe that's what it was that really kind of dropped. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't think it was any worse than anything else. I mean, was it? I mean, it's a raunchy show.
And honestly, like, that episode was probably my favorite of the ones that I watched.
It was probably, and you know what? That's probably the episode where I thought it was the most cringiest and it was the funniest through the whole thing. Because, like,
well, because you're like, I don't know why I'm laughing at this, but I'm laughing at this.
Exactly. So overall, I don't think it's a bad anime. I just felt like it didn't end very well. I was expecting better, but it is what it is.
Yes. I mean, this can be said about a lot of animes. It starts off strong and it ends kind of weak.
Mm-hmm. The other anime that I watched was Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches. It was actually surprisingly good, Danny. I wasn't really expecting much. I thought this was just going to be a stupid harem show that was just like, you know, another harem to put on the belt. But it actually was surprisingly fun, and it was funny, and it had kind of a story to follow. So Yamada's like goes to a new school. You know, he's somebody who's supposed to be a problem child, fights and stuff, and he goes to a new school to try to start anew, and it doesn't really work. And he kind of gets into a little bit of an argument with this girl, and they bump into each other, and he starts to go up the stairs ahead of her, trips, he falls, and they kiss, and they switch bodies. And so the discovery happens that there are seven witches at the schools with abilities, and when they kind of kiss you, their ability is hampered. But he's what they call like a witch killer, which basically it doesn't affect him. And what his power kind of is, if you call it a power, is that he is able to copy the witch's ability after he kisses a witch. So, you know, the story kind of goes, they meet up with a couple other students and they start trying to figure out all the witches. And then there's like this big thing that there's a ritual where if all seven witches come together, they can make one wish come true. And there's a lot of scandal going on, but it was a very fun and easygoing story to watch. You think it's going to be a harem. It's not. You know, he kind of ends up, you know, the first witch or the girl that's kind of part of the club that he initially accidentally kisses, you know, she's like the quiet bookworm that's like the super smart one. You know, he's like terrible at grades and kind of a dick, and so they kind of they compliment each other, and they, you know, they fall in love, and they have a nice bow tie story at the end that I thought was really fun to get to as well. So it was an easy 12 episodes to watch. It was engaging. It had a nice ending, and everything kind of turned. I don't think it's the greatest thing I've watched, but I mean it's definitely a solid 7 or 8.
Okay, I mean it sounds like it's very similar to Date Alive.
Yes, it is, except instead of like sealing powers, it's just like copying. So I thought the interesting thing was like how the student president was kind of the villain, but then he has a past secret, and then it's like there's just so much different things going on between the seven witches and their dramas, because the witches get assigned that power because, you know, they're kind of like a quote-unquote social outcast, and their power kind of represents a part of them on what they would change about themselves. So it was kind of like there was a lot of... I think that was what made it so much more appealing, is because it had reason. There was a lot of, like, sub-layers of reasoning of why things were happening.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So, yeah. It sounds interesting. I don't know. I've said before, I'm really horrible about binge-watching. I'm still working on finishing. I haven't finished the one with the... girl with the cane fighting the demons.
Oh yeah, Spectre.
Inspector and or the romance, the book club book anime.
Oh yeah, you're way behind.
Yeah, I finally watched like the fifth or sixth episode of that episode of the. Yeah, I'm on the fifth episode of Oh Maidens in Your Savage Feet and the fifth episode of Inspector.
Yeah, I mean it gets tough. There's just so much stuff to watch.
Right.
And but I feel like the new season, and like, you know, we're coming up to, you know, we're going to be soon, it'll be summer. We're in April, so, I mean, we're going to have all the summer series coming soon. You know, I just started watching My Hero season 4. It's like, man, dude, it's like they just keep pumping out episode week after week, and I feel like I'm just getting farther and farther down the hole.
That's what she said?
No. Nah.
Eh. Probably Sean, I actually have a legit reason why I wish you lived in Riverside still.
Why? Now.
Magic the Gathering announced, as like starting to tease, or what's it called, when they release the cards, like premiere the new set that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The set looks like so much fun.
Oh.
Really? It's in association with Toho Studios, a studio in Japan. You may not recognize the name, but you recognize what they've done. They're coming out with... the name of the set is Ikoria, Lair of the Behemoths.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the Godzilla universe.
Oh, really? Nice.
And so Toho Studios is the studio in Japan that created Godzilla and all of the side characters, like Mothra and... Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
And Space Godzilla.
So are we going to get a bunch of monsters?
Dude. So, there's one new thing they've done. Like, I don't know if it was the last set or the set before, that they've done full art cards. Where, you know, in the past where it was like the little square of art and the bottom was like a black square with the writing in it.
Yeah.
This one is the whole card is art and they do the writing over the bottom of the art.
Oh, nice.
And so for these, like... they have different rarities of each monster. Of their different, I guess, their different power levels. So there's like at least a rare and a mythic. I don't know. I haven't seen in the spoilers if there's uncommons or commons. But for the mythic rare, it's the full art card. Really? And so there's like a Mothra and Ghidorah and Godzilla and Mechagodzilla and Space Godzilla.
In Magic the Gathering now?
In Magic the Gathering.
Are they named something different, or is that what they're called?
No, because it's a collaboration with the Japanese studio, so they're full licensed.
Wow, so we have Godzilla in Magic of the Gathering.
Yes.
Wow.
And so, you know, because of how, you know, names and translations don't always work.
Yes.
They've had to change the names of one of the cards.
Oh, no.
It's a little insensitive right now.
Yee. Is it safe space?
No. It's just bad. It's more bad timing. It's more bad timing.
Gotcha.
Because Space Godzilla...
yeah.
You know, Godzilla's, like, main move is it shoots a laser beam out of its mouth.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that laser beam is called the Corona Beam.
Oh, boy.
So in Japanese, the card reads Corona Beam of Death. Right?
Yes.
The English version is Space Godzilla Death Corona.
Oh, man.
And, you know, these cards are done. These sets are like, they're already like three sets. They're already planning like three sets ahead. Yep. You know?
Yep.
The cards, the names, they're playtesting at least two sets, like two or three sets ahead. Like they're like a year and a half, 2 years ahead at least, minimum.
No, it makes sense.
So it's not like this card was like printed in like February for it to come out in June. Dude, like this card was printed like in.
Dude, I'm gonna have to buy these cards now.
I know, I so bad want. There's a card shop by me that I've gone to a couple times that they're still. Last I heard, they were still open, but they're doing like delivery or curbside pickup. But I don't know if the changed. But I want to buy like two boxes. I like want like how we used to do it, where you just one of us we'd go to one of our houses with a box of cards and just.
Oh, dude, that was the best. We'd buy like everyone would buy a couple boxes. We would go how we would divide up the box and we bought like the case. So then what we would do though is like we would take that box and then do like a sealed competition. Dude, that shit was so much fun.
And just drink beer and play Magic.
Exactly. Good times.
Dude, those were the best. And then you had to be a dick and leave.
Yes. I just was like a SpongeBob. I was like, I'm gonna head out.
Exactly. But yeah, man, like the artwork looks amazing. It's just the abilities and stuff. So they have like minions that come with them that are like lower level like rarities. Oh, dude, it just looks like so much fun. Like I just want to play this set. Like I just want to buy like a whole case and just play this set.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, I don't want to play any other sets. Fuck them. I just want to play with Godzilla.
Yeah. When is it already out?
No, they're doing the spoilers right now. If you go to like MTG Salvation.
Oh my god! Like, I just looked it up. Space Godzilla Death Corona. Oh my god! It's fucking hilarious, man. It's fucking hilarious, dude. That shit's like $300 right now. Now I'm gonna have to buy a case just to buy a case. Then when we hang out, we could do a sealed competition.
And that's the thing, like, because we're going to have to change the name of that card. That card is going to be worth a ton of fucking money until, at least in the beginning, because the set hasn't even come out yet. They've only spoiled 58 of the 322 cards. I don't know when the set is officially coming out.
Oh, man, I'm totally buying a box.
Right?
Hey, Godzilla, make me buy some Magic cards,
dude. Oh. I honestly, getting at least one of the old school, the original printing of the Godzilla, Space Godzilla, mm-hmm. would be cool. Even just getting like Mothra.
Oh, I know. This is like something I could definitely get behind.
It is, dude. So there's like a human warrior that's a species specialist. It's like a species specialist enters the battlefield. Choose a creature type. Whenever a creature of the chosen type dies, you may draw a card.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Dude, that Godzilla is no joke, though, dude. It's six colorless and two black. Dude, eight for a black card, dude? That's crazy.
Right? But all the...
Eight by eight death touch, man. That's pretty intense.
And it's almost game over at that point.
Yeah, true. I really do like the card art, though. It's very solid. Very solid.
Oh, man. Yeah, I want to play somebody sealed on that so bad.
White, black, green. Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yes. But it worked out pretty funny because I also just happened to watch this week Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. I enjoyed it.
You know what? It's funny how, like, you know, they, like, Universal Pictures tried to do the whole, like, Universal Monsters universe, kind of, like, everyone, like, tried to do the MCU, but it seems like the Godzilla universe is in strong hands, whoever's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
My only complaint is that they kind of blew their load a little too early.
What, like, with Hydra?
Like, yes, they should have done the Godzilla King Kong fight first, and then the King of the Monsters, where everyone was bowing to him at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that DK monkey has no fucking chance.
Right. If he could, like, take on, like, the alpha monster, then Donkey Kong is nothing. He should have fought King Kong and maybe had some other stuff, side stories where like Mothra fought something, like Mothra and Charizard. I can't remember the name of the fire monster.
Of which one?
The fire monster.
I don't remember.
Charizard. We'll just call it Charizard. It's not, but, you know, I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. That's all that matters.
Yeah, Charizard. The fake Charizard.
Yes, the Godzilla Charizard. Like, that would have been, like, they could have, like, set up, like MCU, like, how they had, like, the Tony Stark movie, like, the Iron Man movie and, like, Captain America. Yeah. They should have had all those movies, like, to set up who was good and who was not, and then have the King of the Monsters where they fought Ghidorah.
Yeah.
And they could have got, like, 10 movies out of that.
Probably.
But I was reading about the movie, and Bradley Whitford, do you know who he is?
It sounds familiar.
He was one of the scientists in the movie. He was also the quote-unquote villain in Billy Madison.
Oh, gotcha.
So he was said, like, he was, like, giving an interview about the movie, and he said that he based his character on Rick from Rick and Morty, where he was just an asshole that was drinking the whole time.
Fair enough.
And so I saw that, like, read that as I was kind of watching the movie, and so I kind of started focusing on that. And it's like, yeah, he didn't seem drunk enough. He should have been more drunk.
He was probably told to be less drunk.
Maybe, yeah. Tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. You're not really drunk.
You can't be drunk. And it's like, dude, the world's about to end. Why can't I be drunk?
Exactly.
But then I watched the movie 1917, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like war movies?
I'm indifferent. I don't hate them.
I mean, this movie, like, I was trying to figure out where they would get the conflict from, because it starts off, and they show it in the trailer, where it's like, these two guys are basically army messengers, and they have to get to a certain area where there's, like, troops set up because the Germans are setting a trap for them. And their main motivation is, one of the two is that his brother is part of the group that's going to be, like, the first in and to the ambush. And so the story is them going from their base to where the camp is. The action is really good. It's very British. Everybody in the movie is British. Benedict Cumberbatch plays a total dickhole in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's surprisingly good at it. He's not his normal, like, you know, dreamy, charming British self. Mm. There's one time when he was on Saturday Night Live, they did a skit called "Why Is Benedict Cumberbatch So Hot?" Like, game show style. It's pretty funny. It's on the YouTubes if you want to check it out.
We'll have to.
You shall. But yeah, it's if you're into war movies or some, like, or like true stories, I definitely recommend watching it. If not, then you'll probably find it kind of slow. Some of the complaints about it in the reviews on Netflix were ridiculous. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. My plan today, Sean, is to just drink the rest of the day. I don't know about you.
I'm going to try to be an adult. This will be the first time I've mowed my lawn in my new house. So that should be entertaining. Not really.
Well, I mean, the problem with that is you'll actually have to put pants on.
I know. I'm keeping the gym shorts on. I'm not putting pants on.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, you can't free ball it when you're out there.
No, I can't.
You have to wear something below the waist.
Yeah, I mean, I have to, like, go through and, you know, probably try to do some laundry and whatnot. Probably get back to Persona later in the day, but...
I mean, I have to do laundry too, but laundry is one of those drinking shorts. You can drink and do laundry.
It's all the folding, man. It's just too much folding.
Well, see, that's the thing is, I've made the deal with the wife is, like, I wash the dishes, she puts them away, and I wash the clothes and she folds them, and then we put away our own individual clothes.
Interesting.
Because I hate folding and she hates washing.
How do you hate washing? You just put things in a machine.
Well, it's not so much that she hates washing, is that I'm picky about how my clothes get washed and dried.
That's fair.
And she's picky about how clothes get folded.
That's a good compromise that you guys made. You guys are some real fun-loving adults.
Oh, God. It sucks. I hate it. So, on that note, all right, everybody, next week, hopefully?
Hopefully next week.
I guess today at some point. If you're listening to this podcast, it's in the past, but in Riverside County, they actually officially issued the mandate that anytime you're like in public, you have to wear a face mask.
Dude, that's what I was starting to hear, dude. It's crazy.
And so, like, luckily I was able to snag a couple of face masks from work, and then my wife, like, goes walking in the morning before work, and she ran into one of our neighbors who's a nurse, and so she hooked her up with a couple masks. So we'll probably be called dicks for wearing, like, official, like, N95 medical masks or whatever, but, like, we're not hoarding them. Like, not that – some lady in back east, I can't remember where it was, but – oh, New York. The FBI raided her apartment. She had over a million of the N95 masks in her apartment.
Jeez, that's so many. And she was How big is like, this apartment in New York?
I don't know. And she was trying to sell them to medical people for, like, $20 a piece.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
What a dick.
Exactly.
Don't be a dick.
So hopefully we'll be around next week and alive.
I'll be alive. I'm part of the master race. I'm part of the future.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that, Sean. That seems super racist.
I didn't say what race. The human race.
But I don't know, man. I think Hitler's already established what the master race means.
I don't know. I don't think so. That guy's dead. He doesn't have any say anymore. He failed. Yeah, he failed. He failed his quest. He needs to shut up and die. And stay dead.
History books still tell his story.
True. As a warning. As a warning to all the young folk not to grow up and be racist.
Exactly.
Just hate everybody.
And by don't be racist, don't be white. And on that note, everybody.
That sounds like a racist comment right there.
It can't be racist. Well, I don't know. Is it weird? Because you can't be racist against white people. And as a white dude, everything I say is racist. So if I say something racist, if I say something negative against white people, am I being racist against white people? Or
I don't know. I like to say that's a white ass. What white person made up that shit?
I don't know. All right, everybody. Give us a review.
Yes.
Mention that we're not racist. Super not racist. Like, I don't know. Like, as a white dude, there's, like, two things that we can't necessarily defend ourselves from. Like, and that's, like, rape and racism charges. And I can't even, like, defend myself from racism charges because I have no friends, let alone black friends. I can't say, like, well, I have black friends, because I don't even really have white friends.
Yeah. True. I don't know what to tell you, man. You're just screwed. But Exactly. Everybody else could just review us on Podbean, Instagram. Don't rate us on Instagram. Can you rate on Instagram?
No, but you can follow along our fun-filled adventures on Instagram.
True. All those fantastical places. We'll still be here when the post-apocalypse happens. Hopefully we still have internet.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.